We're recording, Yankees.
Yeah, put it back because it's too far away. Yeah. No? Yeah, right to the edge. You might as well get the speaker as big as possible in the picture.
Okay,
good morning, Rabbi Isai. So we finished our discussion yesterday about saying L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi before Chatzi Kaddish. Those people who have the minag, that they say it before Chatzi Kaddish, that means before Ashrei, on a weekday when there's no lining, or before lining when there is lining. So the second minig that there is, it works out the same for Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfad, but let's talk about Nusach Sfad for the moment, where they say the Shir Shel Yoim before Oleinu. So there the minig is, in some minhogim of Sfad, that they say it after the Shir Shel Yoim. Okay, some people say it after the Shir Shel Yoim, and then they say the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, and then they say Ein Kalakeinu and Pitamak Toros, and then they go to Oleinu. Why do they do that? So the Svara there is as follows, that we start saying the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and on Rosh Chodesh Elul we add Baruch Hinafshi. So what happens is that I'm davening the regular davening. Then I'm saying the Shir Shel Yoim of the day of the week. Then I'm adding Bochi Nafshi because of Rosh Chodesh. So I say the Shir Shel Yoim of the day of the week, Kaddish. Chatzi Kaddish. Not Chatzi Kaddish, but what we call Kaddish Yosom. Yeah? Then, because Bochi Nafshi, although it's another capital of Tehillim, but it's there for a different purpose, it's there as a Zecha for Rosh Chodesh, therefore, I can say another Kaddish Yosom after Bochi Nafshi. And then, seeing as it's Rosh Chodesh, and we're starting to say L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi from Rosh Chodesh, they add L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi there as well. And then it gets another Chatzi Kaddish. So we don't have the advantage... Kaddish Yosom. So we don't have the advantage of a Marbin B'Kadeshim that we spoke about yesterday in respect to the first Minhag. Okay, so that's Minhag number two. And it's simple, a practical thing. Today is a weekday, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the first day that I'm saying the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, and therefore I start those in order. And the final minhag is the minhag of Nusach Ashkenaz, which is they say Oleinu, followed by the Shir Shel Yoim, and then followed by the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi as at the very end. Yeah, what is the idea? And also in Nusach Sfad, yeah, I think many of the Nusach Sfad, I don't mean Sfaradi, I'm talking about Nusach Sfad Hasidish, that they also say the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi after Oleinu. Yeah, in other words, although they've said the Shir Shel Yoim earlier, so today they would have said Tfilah L'Dovid, Shir Shel Yoim, Pitamak Toros, and then Kaddish, and then Oleinu. And then, yeah, they say L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi after Oleinu. What's the idea there? The idea there, both in the Nusach Ashkenaz and in this Nusach Sfad, is that I'm associating the L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi with Tkiyas Shofar. Okay, so immediately after Oleinu L'Shabeach, everybody blows the Shofar. And therefore, I start blowing Shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I start saying the L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi immediately afterwards. Therefore, you say Oleinu L'Shabeach, Ba'ayim Ahu Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad, Tzkiyah Shofar, then the L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, and then, and after that we say Kaddish. Yeah. So there is a Kaddish specially for the L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. You don't have that advantage of Eimah bin Bakadeshim, but nevertheless, because it has a specific purpose, therefore we're happy to say Kaddish afterwards. So there's a Kaddish Yosem after that. Why not on Shabbos as well? There's no Tkiyas Shofar, but...
You say the Shir Shel Yoim...
Shabbos. Where do you say it? Exactly. In some shuls they say it before Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah? But they still say, I think, do they say L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi there? Or do they say it at the end? After Musaf? I think there's different minhagim.
In our shul, on an ordinary Shabbos, we say the Shir Shel Yoim at the end of Shachris. Well, Rosh Hashanah, we deliberately leave the David until right till the end.
Or Rosh Hashanah itself.
The very last year.
Yeah, but this week Shabbos.
Yeah.
This week Shabbos, what will you do? Okay. You say the Shir Shel Yom before Ein Kamoicha. Do you say the David as well before Ein Kamoicha? And there are some who will say the Shir Shel Yom before Ein Kamoicha. And then the David Hashem Arvi Yishi after Oleinu. Yeah. Although we're not blowing shofar.
After Anas Miris.
Even after Anas Miris, at the very, very last thing. Well, yeah. So again, there are various minhagim, but the truth is that during the week, there's an inyan, the inyan of saying David Hashem Arev Yishi after Aleinu has to do with Tkiyas Shofar. On Shabbos, there isn't Tkiyas Shofar, but nevertheless, some people still slot it in, if you like, at that point. Our speaker isn't here. Us?
Not
them. No.
It is,
yeah.
There's a gentleman outside on the phone.
Yeah, check if he's here. If not, then I'll start saying a Dvar Torah. I heard something very nice from Rabbi Yoni Rosenfeld last Friday night. Shem Harav Olshin, which is I don't know if he's Mashkiach or Magid Shir in Lakewood Yeshiva. He's written a sefer on the Moyadim, and he made a very interesting observation. Which I said over at the Shabbos table, and it was quite well received, so maybe if you hear it as well, it will also be quite well received. Is it the speaker?
No.
Okay, I'll start telling you over this tratar. He said as follows. He said there is a distinct change in the tone of the Haftorahs as we move along.
Yes.
Yeah? You've heard this one?
Yeah.
So he said, "B'shem Rav Olshin." He said, "We have the three haftorahs of Puronius. That's the three haftorahs of the 3 weeks, finishing off with Chazon Yeshayahu, who observed the he didn't observe, but he foresaw the Churban Habayis, and then starts what we call the Shiva de Nechemto, the seven parshias, the seven haftorahs of Nechoma." And the Shiva de Nechemta will take you right up to Rosh Hashanah. And he said, that means that these seven Haftorahs, looking back at the Churban Habayis, the seven of Nechoma, are really taking you all the way up to Rosh Hashanah, he said, and somehow you're going from the Churban straight into Rosh Hashanah. There doesn't seem to be any Haftorahs which are going to start preparing you for El. Yeah, for Elul, for Rosh Hashanah, there's no changeover. Suddenly, we finish with the Churban Habayis, and the next Haftorah is Shuvah Yisrael. That's one. Second question he asked was that Nachamu Nachamu Ami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be comforted. Yeah, but the next Haftorah says, Ani Yisrael Loi Nuchama, I'm not comforted. And the next one also, I've forgotten the Loshen, but the next two Haftorahs both say, Klal Yisrael are saying, sorry, I don't accept the Nuchama, I can't have any Nuchama. And then this week, Parsha Shoftim, we start off with a complete new, what's called a complete new attitude, a complete new tone. Onoichi, onoichi, hu menachemchem. Suddenly, I'm accepting the Nechoma. What changed? That was his question. And Berlin Eder, we'll finish it off on another day when the speaker comes late.
Diane comments that he linked it to us changing the tune of the Chod O.D. on Friday night.
Sorry, can I get you some swarm?
No, it's fine, thank you very much.
My introduction was that I'm late. That was the introduction.
You missed your introduction.
So, Torah Way, Northwest London, Tuesday, Tess Elul, 2nd of September, Harav Amram Nemeth Shlita, Kibbutz Avvoim, Curiosities.
Thank you.
Where's this thing for this jacket?
Yeah, it's here.
Thank you. Now, the only problem with this is that my father's on his way and it's about Kippur Davein. The question is, do you wait? I won't take it personally, my late coming, even though I've had to cancel three other things just to be here this morning, but obviously I'll just take that in my stride and as to anything else. But I do apologize, but it's the first day of term, and I've also got Kibbud Ishtoi. There's a lot of things going on as well as Kibbud Aveim. Although my chi of Kibbud Aveim stands strong, even though I've got the chi of to my wife. My wife's chi of Kibbud Aveim is non-existent in as much as maybe she needs to help me as well. But my in-laws live in Bournemouth, so they didn't help us this morning. But either way, now the question is whether I should wait for my father. In Hilchas Kibbud Aveim, would there be a chiv to wait now for him? Don't think there would be. Then where would fit? Now, presumably, as we'll see towards the end of the shir, I had never seen this inside, and I looked for it. Not in, maybe in enough time, Rabbi Zimmerman shared it with me orally, that there's an understanding of from Rabbi Asher Weiss, I think was in the relation to a COVID vaccine. As far as I understand, in terms of whether if a father asks the child not to take the vaccine, the father has to listen, the son has to listen to the father. There's an understanding of the Rotzen HaTorah, there's the will of the Torah to consistently do the wishes of what your father or mother would want. But in terms of its strict obligation, it may be hard to find. This is disputed, but we're going to see this towards the end of the shir, but kibbud is quite scripted, according to many Rishonim anyway. Ezil kibbud, what's kibbud? Machal or mishke, malbish or machase. Food, drink, clothes, cover him. It's not do whatever he wishes or she wishes to do, seems. And that's discussed a lot. I think it's mainly relevant to parents who are very, maybe nowadays, abusive or difficult to their children. Then there has to be some sort of limit as to how much a parent can ask a child to do. And therefore, many poskim go back to that as a kibbud, although there's definitely an understanding that anything we could do to make our parents' lives better is definitely a good thing to do, and maybe it's a kiyomis, maybe it's something we fulfill. Whether we're strictly obligated, and halacha is quite careful, I think, as to what and when. If a parent says to a child, I want you to wear a certain color or come with me to a certain chasna, it's unclear whether the child has to do that necessarily. And I was trying to buy more time, but my father's still not here, so I think we'd have to start. Well, apparently he's walking on the way. There's a few curiosities, and I simply because I was the Rav of a camp, and we went through the halachas of Kibbud Aveim, and there were a few things that stood out to me. So when he asked me to speak, that was the first thing on my head. Kibbud Aveim was a big sugya. I don't claim to have finished it or even started it, but there were a few things that I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. I never knew that before. I've shared it with other people who found it interesting, so in the next few minutes I'll share it with you. First of all, what's the connection to the parasha? Obviously, it's Shluach HaKen, because it says there with Shluach HaKen, as well, you have a long life and a good life. Whether it's referring to Olam Haba or Olam Hazeh, it's disputed, but the reward is definitely the same. I think the Medrash says that it shows us that we don't know the reward for mitzvahs, because Shluach HaKen is a relatively easy mitzvah, and Kibbud Aveim is one of the hardest mitzvahs to do, and yet the reward seems to be similar, if not the same. And it reflects that we don't necessarily know how Hashem judges a small mitzvah or a large mitzvah. Shluach HaKen, taking a mother bird, you wouldn't necessarily compare to respecting your parents, looking after them, which can be, for some people, a very, very large endeavor. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know how he judges the world. And that's an introduction, maybe. But there's one thing, as a Meshech Chochma, that stood out for me on the Pasuk of Kibbud Aveim in the second Aseret HaDibros in Parashas Vayeschana. And maybe it's relevant to me, and I think it's also relevant to Shabbos. And I'll tell you the connection to it. You know, often in that world of outreach, you try maybe and sell Shabbos. It can get a bit repulsive, it's a bit much. Like, oh wow, Shabbos candles are so nice, you could sit with your family, isn't it? Why don't you try and do that? And I think it's overdone, because some things are better experienced than said. Not everything has to be said. That's just my opinion, but either way, you know, I remember years ago, oh, I'm not that old, so people here can say years ago, I can't say years ago yet, until I'm about 50. But about 10 or 15 years ago, when I started teaching in Maida Vale, and it was the World Cup on Shabbos, and a child said to me, well, if Shabbos is all about family time, what's wrong with watching the match with my family, right? And the answer was, what was the answer? Well, everyone's disputed. Well, in that kind of world, everyone was finding heterim, and you can, you can't. But that was, I had only just got to know him, but he would never have heard that from me, because that's true. If Shabbos is, if that's what Shabbos is, and there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu in there anywhere, then good luck to you. Go for it. So go and spend time with your family watching the match. I think that's what I said. But they, I think there's a big misunderstanding of Shabbos, of Vayinafash, of the, all the verbs and nouns used in the Torah for Shabbos. But that is where Shabbos, in some, someone was trying obviously to sell it to him. It's all about the family and it's all about connection. And even now, just I was on a trip last week in Eretz Yisrael, and I was chatting to a boy also about Shmir Shabbos. And it's interesting, he was saying that if he would become Shomer Shabbos, there'd be two things that'd be challenging to him. First of all, he's a musical artist, and obviously performing on Shabbos would be a challenge.
Performing
shoe. So performing on Shabbos like would be a, that's a natural, obvious. So obviously you send him someone like Alex Clare, and you know, who knows if he could give the right answer. But he also said that his family are all musical. And on Friday night, they have Kiddush, and they sit together, and afterwards, they all go to the studio, and his brother's on the drums, and his mother is doing her artist, and there's musical friends from the artist world come in, and he's jamming on the music machine. And you know, what are you going to say? Shabbos is the time where you sit together? Now, obviously, we know, we understand the depth of Shabbos, but I think, and I've always been careful for this when I speak to people, that there's got to be an element of Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Alekecha. Hashem commanded us to do it at Har Sinai. There's reasons for everything. And I'll tell you how it's relevant. Because with Kibud Avaim, famously, the reasons for it are given clearly in the Sefer HaChinuch. Sheroya loy la'adam, it's fitting for a person, sheyakir v'yigmal chesed l'misha ase imoy toiva, to repay. A piroin choiv, I think Yerushalmi puts the expression. V'lo yeh novel, or misnaka kofri toiva. The worst middle we can have as a Yid is kofri toiva, so we have to be makir toiv. Shezu midara u'mu'usa betachlis lefnei elokim va'anashim. The most repulsive thing we witness is when a child is disrespectful to parents, and everyone feels, even like he says, it's disgusting. Like your parents have given you everything so far. How could you even think of doing that? V'shi'itin elibaki av'eim sibos. You've got to constantly think of gratitude, says the Chinuch, which naturally, who naturally explains the reasons for the mitzvah. That's the reason for Kibud Av V'Aim. Excellent. Now the problem is, you'll get some people who say, my parents have done nothing for me. On the contrary, they've ruined my life. Especially nowadays, you'll hear this a lot, because nowadays is the generation where children, when they get older, well, they complain, and I wasn't brought up how I'd like to be brought up. Not even, I think, in my generation, we didn't necessarily think like that, but you speak to many children nowadays, my parents were wrong, and they sent me to that school, and that ruined my chinuch. Everyone's an expert on chinuch at 22 already. And everyone would say, and anyway, they didn't pay for anything, my grandparents paid for my school fees, my parents couldn't afford it, and therefore, I'm not necessarily makitoy to them at all. And they were quite nasty to me, and I don't want to be makitoy. But you do hear that conversation. And I think it's important to teach these people, when you meet them, the Meshech Chachma. Because the Meshech Chachma says, therefore, the words of the Pasuk are careful. It is in Parshas Vayeschanan, in Aseret HaDibros. Maybe as well in Shemais, but I didn't see it there. Kabbat es avicha v'esimecha, respect your parents, kashet tzivcha Hashem elekecha. Like Hashem elekecha has commanded you. We have a mitzvah. There may be reasons which are part of the Torah Shavar Peh that was handed to Moshe Rabbeinu, but in essence, you must always go back to kashet tzivcha Hashem elekecha, and don't let the reason dictate the mitzvah. You are commanded to respect your parents. Your parents gave you nothing. Your parents are annoying, etc., etc., etc. Kasha tzivcha Hashem elekecha. What's his proof? And what's maybe the time to what he's saying? He says, look at where this was given, the mitzvah of Aseret HaDibros. It was given in the midbar. The dry cleaning was done by the Nanei HaKavod. The mon was given as the food. Everything was provided for them. A parent had nothing to do for a child there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kabbat es avicha v'esimecha, and that's reflected in the words, Kashet tzivcha Hashem elekecha. Like Hashem elekecha has commanded you. I think for me that was an eye-opener, because I always understood it was gratitude. And I had received this question in the past. And I, you know, it's easy to say, it's a mitzvah. But here the Meshech Chochma is addressing this point. And it's incumbent upon us to look at Kibud Av V'Aim as a mitzvah that we're mechoyev to do, and to gain inspiration and insight for it. Look in the chinuch, and we say, obviously, we're not kofri tov, and we look for gratitude to it. Now, he compares it to two other things. One is within Kibud Av V'Aim itself, and secondly, within Shabbos. Because Shabbos, there's a Yerushalmi that says, Lo nitnu Shabbos es li Yisrael, el alasek behem batoira. That means especially if someone's working the whole week, if someone's learning the whole week, Shabbos is less of a chiyuv to learn to an extent. If someone's working the whole week, then Shabbos, the weekend, is an obligation to learn. So what happens if someone says, but I'm busy the whole week, and therefore Shabbos is irrelevant to me? Says the Meshech Chochmah, look in the Midbar. They were loinit the Torah ela lo'eichle haman. They were busy the whole time learning Torah, and still Shabbos was given. Then he says, go back a few pesukim in the Aseret Sadibros. What does it say? Shamay resiyom haShabbos lekadshoi kashet zivcha Hashem lekecha. Like Hashem has commanded you. So to this boy who wanted to watch the World Cup, family time, ideas, it's all very nice, it's all very true. But there has to be, and I think there's always a fault, in my opinion, of the Kirov world. Because reasons go so far. And there's going to be a certain point, there's some mitzvah which you don't like the reason for. And we all do it. Why do we do it? Because we stood with a mountain on top of us as Am Yisrael, we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forevermore we'll keep it. Kashet Sivcha Hashem Nekecha. And I was in Novolino just like 2 months ago. I was sitting with a young, lovely guy from Guildford, and he wants to start learning and growing. And he looked around all the people going past, and he said, how come all these people enjoy doing these mitzvahs so much? What is it? He sees everyone rushing with hats. And obviously when you come from that, you think everyone's like a tzaddik. And it's true, right? But you go, you think everyone is sitting there with a fire, davening and learning. That's the perception that you have. And he said, so I said to him, there are many mitzvahs that we enjoy. And of course, there's a tam to every mitzvah. But there's also an understanding within many of these people who you're looking at outside of kashat sivcha Hashem alekecha. I don't always have a choice as to whether yes or no. And I think that always has to be part of the discussion as well, because it could be mitzvahs that we don't necessarily know the reason for. Now, what's the reason for it then? Or therefore, I'm not doing it in an age of choice. That's a dangerous place to be, because we accepted upon ourselves the 613 mitzvahs, and I think that's the point that Meshech Chochmah is addressing. Kibbutz of Aim is a beautiful reason. It's kofi toiva of a kashat sivcha Hashem nekecha. Your parents ruined your life. Even if they're a Russia, maybe not. If they've done tshuva, there's a whole discussion. But generally speaking, that's what it is. He says that's the same for Shabbos as well. This is the same, which is relevant to my life, not personally, but in the people I interact with. A lot of the reason of Kibbutz of Aim is the famous story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that he was on the plane next to someone, and the person the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's son and grandson were there, and they were giving him a lot of respect. But the guy, his son, and he said, "My son would never do that." He said, because you understand that you're progressing into the age of AI and everyone's becoming cleverer and cleverer. But on the contrary, we didn't understand that we come from a source that was completely connected to the Creator, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're slowly moving away, and therefore we respect. And there's also an understanding of Kibbutz of Aim that connects me to the Messiah, and I look back at my parents, that's why it's on the right side of the Teres HaDibros, and that connects me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, what happens if your parents don't care about Yiddishkeit at all? Then you go back to Kashat Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. That's a nice reason. But and if your parents are not frum, if you're frummer than your parents, and they couldn't care less about many of the mitzvahs, then kashat sivcha Hashem nekecha. It's those three things he encapsulates in the words that are found, we would just go put over in the pasuk. One is kibbutz of aim without hakaras hatoiv. Maybe there's very little they've done for you. Two, Shabbos in terms of leinin the Torah Shabbosus el leinin el Shabbos el lamed lasem b'Torah. If you study the whole week, it's not necessarily necessary. And thirdly, if your parents never gave you a Messiah. And he doesn't write the Makor for this in Meshech Chochmah, but I think it's well known that one of the reasons for Kibbutz of Aim is that they've handed over the Messiah to you. And if they haven't done that, you've still got Kashat Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. That's point one that stood out to me, and I found it very helpful in teaching mitzvahs generally and Kibbutz of Aim specifically. There's another question, which maybe this is obvious to the crowd, and forgive me if it is in my Amaratzis, but which I always had, which I found the answer to. So I'd like to share that with you as we were learning this in the lovely mountains of Aberfoyle in Scotland. This came to me. Now, maybe this is obvious, but for years I've been asked this question, especially interacting with children teaching this Gemara of Kibbutz of Aim. This is the most famous story, which everyone knows. Bar Menei Merav Ula Ad Heichan Kibbutz of Aim. Amalahem Tzuru Ma Osai V'Chavim Echad Ba'ashkeloin V'Doma Ben Asunish Shema. Look at the goy Pamachas. Once, Bikshum Chachamar Bakti B'Shishim Riboy Scha. They wanted for the Choshen or for the Ephod, the Machokas Bavli Yerushalmi, they wanted a stone, and the key to the stone was under the head of his father. But Lloyd Tzira, he didn't wake him up. And etc. And everyone knows the story since they were a young age. There's a guy, he's presumably Machoyev Kibbutz of Aim, according to Moshe Feinstein on Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it's just good midas. presumably they're in. I think one of the reasons why we don't make a bracha on Kippud Avayim is because we can't say Hashem Kitchadu and Mitzvah, someone sanctified us with this specific mitzvah, like a lulav or an esrog, because the goyim are presumably mechoyev as well. I think that's what we say, the pasuk we say at the beginning of Kippud Avayim. So the goy was in, and we say, wow, he did it. I think it was the key was under his pillow, and he didn't wake him up. And the next day he got a Pora Adoma in his flock, and he lived happily ever after, Dom ben Asuna. Now I've always been asked, and I've never understood, why didn't he just wake him up? It's all very cute. But imagine, well, maybe the profit was to the son. But imagine the son could have made £2 million. Which father is as cruel as that? He said, you fool, we could have at least shared the profit. And I've always been asked that question and just rolled over and never quite understood. And maybe this is obvious to everyone here, the answer. But I've learned this Gemara so many times, especially with discussing Parah Adumah or Kibbud Avayim, in a very simple level. And in my context, my father's not here, but presumably, if he could make £1 million, he would say, wake me up. And the way Moshe Feinstein explains in Dibros Moshe, if you want to look it up, in Ha'ara Yud Zayin on Kibbud Avayim, and he says Daf Lamad Aleph clearly, and it's a very easy piece to learn, but why wouldn't he wake him up? And he explains it maybe in a more yeshivish terms. If you look at the two things together, the tsar of being woken up and the money that you could have made, the money you could have made far outweighs a few minutes, literally not even. He's trying to move his foot slightly to the side. And he would have said, oh, sorry, I'm just getting the key, daddy. Closed it and made the money. I've never understood that story. And I always thought, Kibbud Avayim is so far. But then it doesn't make sense because, like, I always had a Moshe's question. I never realized it was a legitimate question. Of course he wants money. So there are possibly discussed that it was talking about a lack of profit. He wouldn't have lost money. But it still doesn't make sense. Even if the profit was directly to the son, which Moshe discusses, it could be an option. Surely every father would want their child to be a wealthy person. Which father is so cruel that he doesn't want his child to be wealthy? And there are possibly who say that we were just showing how far one can go, but it seems to be silly. And Rav Moshe has a chiddush, which is the only answer that I understand, but it's a chiddush in the Gemara. If you look later on in the Gemara, I think it's even a bit comical to an extent, the way he writes it. And he says it, I think, as a doichak, but it's the only answer I understand, but it's one easy to remember. Look at later on in the Gemara, he says, Ki Asur of Dumi Omar, Pam achas hayolavish surkoin shalzov, vayoyoshev ben gedoili roimi. Later on, Rashi says, this was Dom ben Asuna. It was another story. He was amazing. He was sitting amongst the dignitaries of the town, and his mother was there. Boss, ima v'karasim ena v'top chalai arosha v'yorka b'fonav, she spat. Complete embarrassment. He should have just pushed her away. V'lo yechlima. And he didn't embarrass her. Unbelievable. There, what does Tosfos say on that, says Rav Moshe? Boss, ima v'karasai, yesh b'medrash, shahoysa muturefes midata. If someone's mother is doing that and they're normal, maybe it's not obvious you can accept it. But says Tosfos, what's the caveat over here? Yesh b'medrash, shahoysa muturefes midata. She wasn't 100%. She wasn't with it. Rav Moshe says that we can presume if the mother wasn't with it, the father wasn't with it as well. And he says, halakhically, you should wake up your parents if they can make money. Of course, every father would want that to happen. I think if you look in the Chachmas Adam, he says you wake up your parents if they want for a mitzvah, for Kriya Shema or for davening, if you know definitely they would want it. He says for a normal parent, definitely you should wake them up because they'd want the money. Here was a unique case that his parents weren't 100%, and therefore, because they weren't fully cognitive, they wouldn't fully realize the benefits of the money coming in. And in that case, halachically, you shouldn't wake them up. So if someone's father or mother has never chlust it, and they can't understand what's going on, and they're going to, and they're going to lose the money, then you should leave it. If, however, someone's parents are fully with it, and they understand what's going on, then, says Rav Moshe, it's better to wake them up. But, however, there's one caveat I'll just finish off with for this point. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's always better to wake up your parent, even for a share, with someone else. Try not to wake them up yourself. And that means, if let's say someone's parents are in an old age home, or someone's parents are sleeping upstairs Shabbos afternoon and there's a shir at 6 o'clock, they want to go to Rabbi Hartman in Bridge Lane, etc., then you should ask your mother to wake them up, or ask a friend or their brother. If you have to, wake them up yourself. But because waking up is such a big deal, and only here because the benefit outweighs so much that it's obvious, then you shouldn't. However, if it's the Aruch HaShulchan does paskan, that if it's you should preferably ask someone who's not a child to wake up a parent. I'm sorry.
What if the guy was already very, very wealthy? Would you wake up Elon Musk?
But don't they say, yesh, look, I'm not wealthy, so I don't know the feeling, right? But no, but I'll tell you, yesh, for me, any, like, £100 would be useful. But yesh lo mana roitza masayim, is that not like a thing? And I think, by the way Rav Moshe is saying it, that it's not obvious in every case. You can, I can leave this with you, and you could come out with your conclusions. Gersh and Dunna share this with me from, but I think it would probably be quite subjective. And that's what seems to be from all the Rishonim on the Gemara. What you see from the Gemara is that what we were taught as children, that you never ever wake up, is not necessarily correct. And here, it was specific. His kibud of aim, what was he praised for? Because his father, Nebuch, wasn't with it. And he was willing to lose millions of pounds because he knew his father wouldn't realize. And that's taka halachic, according to Rav Moshe. If your father wouldn't realize, and you could have gained millions of pounds, you leave it. If the father is not with it, and the key is under his pillow, that's what kibud av aim is. Because the way we treat our parents has to be like the Chachmas Adam introduces, like a king or a queen, and you'd be scared to start. But as soon as someone's father or mother is cognitive, then halakhically, the way he explains it, is a story wouldn't necessarily apply, according to him. Now, I found that very instructive and interesting, because I just had these questions for years, and I was happy someone addressed it. The answer is hard to understand. Well, just because his mother wasn't normal, he also wasn't normal? How does that work? That's my question on it. I hear. But this is the best I can do. That means in terms of the Gemara, and it's Rav Moshe Feinstein, no less. Right? So, I don't think it's the easiest answer to understand. You can't presume if you meet someone's wife to say, well, your husband's probably... Well, you can a bit. You normally say, well, I've met his... For a child, you could definitely say that. When you teach children, then you meet the parents and parents' evening, then everything makes sense. Because the father is maybe very rude or aggressive or just looking at his phone, not looking up. Then you realize why the child has such a lot of ADHD, necessarily. But with husband and wife, I don't know. I think it's a shvera tarot, but it's very interesting and definitely a point of discussion. There are other answers in the Gemara. That's what I found made the most sense over here. I'll leave off with one question. I hear it. Like, I don't think it's the easiest to understand, and maybe I've understood Rav Moshe incorrectly, but he does bring Tosfos later on to explain that. One more point, which I don't know if we'll have time for the answer for. If a child, this was asked in a Sefer, I don't remember what it's called, by someone written in Lakewood. It's quoted to Yitzchak Zilberstein as the question, these interesting questions always are. But he says if a daughter realizes that her mother wants to go to Tekiah Shofar in Shul, he's not clear whether they're going to miss it completely or not. I don't think it's irrelevant. And she'll stay home and look after the kids and get the meal ready. What should the daughter do? The mother hasn't necessarily asked it, but the daughter realizes, or maybe take the question further, beyond the Sefer. What happens if the mother needs, let's say, help at home, and she asks the daughter, can you stay at home and not go to Tekiah Shofar this year? Because you know, the in-laws are coming, the cleaner didn't arrive, the mother's not feeling well, and there's other children at home. The classic story, when you have a young family on Rosh Hashanah morning, the husband, maybe he can't come home, or he's got a chi of Tekiah Shofar. So what should the daughter do in terms of kibud av aim? Does she have to go? Does she have to listen? Should she offer it from her own volition or not? Are there any thoughts on that before we...
She can hear it later from
someone. No, let's say she can't hear it at all. Let's say she misses it. She's busy the whole day. There's a meal, the kids are unwell. She can't go to Tekiah Shofar that year.
So how do you apply it?
Later.
Later,
mother go.
Where's the mitzvah potman and mitzvah?
Both of them are
going.
She's going. Where's the mitzvah
potman and mitzvah?
She's going later.
Yeah, you do have them both. But what would you say she should do? What would you do?
She's going later, maybe.
No, there's no, she can't, let's say she'd miss Tekiah Shofar completely. That's what I want to know. Yeah, I would say that. I would say, and then this is exactly what Yitzhak Zilberstein meant. The first thing that came to me, I don't know if this is what he meant exactly, so I'm hesitant to quote from him, was it's a minhag Yisrael, very strongly, that all women go to Tekiah Shofar, but it's a time-bound mitzvah that they're completely potter for. Kibud av aim is a chiyuv of min haTorah in Aseret HaDibros, no less, one which is hundreds of sfarim, it's one of the most important mitzvahs that we do. I would say kibud av aim comes first. Yes. Now the only caveat I have to that is that, I know we're running out of time, but the Rashba in Yevamos does hint to the fact that maybe kibud av aim is only with physical pleasures, and not that the parent could just ask the child to do anything. And therefore, maybe it doesn't come under the strict rubric and halachas of, like we start with, kabdeyu, machel, mashke, food, drink, clothes. Where does this fit into that? So many poskim will understand that it's yira. Because if your father or mother wants something, you're going against that. That Makna says, you're so says tavara. I think the Chaznish understands like that as well. But I think the way the Rashba understands, there's no direct chiv. And he says clearly, in Yavamas Davov, that the kibbutz of aim is limited to physical things the parents want you to do. But then I had to go back to Rav Asher Weiss and the poskim that we started with, and my father was apparently on the way to the shir. Well, someone told me he was, but he never came. But either way...
Good thing he didn't wait.
Yeah, good thing we didn't, maybe. Maybe it was... luckily we didn't wait any longer. But I would say it's the same thing. I don't know how much you've got the understanding it's the Ratzon HaTorah. To, if you really got your father or mother as a king or a queen, then obviously it goes without saying that everything you're going to try and do, and I think that's the essence of Kibbutz of Aim. But is it strictly found in the Shulchan Aruch to listen to your parents for these specific things? I don't think so. I think the way Rabbi Zimmerman explained it to me once was it's a kiyumis. Obviously you're going to be mekayim something. But can the parents insist? Can we insist that you do that, generally speaking? I'm not 100% sure, but in this case, I would still say, in a normal relationship between a parent and a child, and she should stay at home. Hopefully you hear the shofar later, but even not, on Rosh Hashanah, you've been mekayem the mitzvah of Beinam Lachaveh Kibbutz of Aim. She hasn't got a chiyuv. For a man, I don't think you could say that, but for a boy, then you've got the whole, all the Shulchan Aruch that say that the father can't, mother can't ask the child to break a mitzvah in the Torah. Because Kulchem Chayavim Bechvoidi. But I don't know if you could say Kulchem Chayavim Bechvoidi on a minute Yisrael. Like the stories with the Shlomo Zalman that he saw someone not carrying in the Erev. Like the father, I think, was carrying the Svarim for the son. Because he didn't want to carry in the Erev of Yerushalayim. And he came home, we didn't tell him who it was Lashon Hara. But he came home and was devastated about that. Because the way I've seen the story before, I think it's quite well known, is that there's halacha and there's a minig. And of course, the father and mother can't tell the child to break a halacha. But when it comes to minhagim, when you've got kibbutz of aim, pushing against that. I mean, Hoggum is a child entitled to keep. He's entitled to be firmer than his parents. He should be. Everyone should be trying to grow. When you've got Kibbutz of Aim pitted against that, and the father's carrying the svarim because he's machmir not to carry in Yerushalayim, then he said that was maybe something problematic. And I think I've seen it discussed also. Yeah, and I'll stop there because I'm going to say something. I would say, generally speaking, with a minig, even if it's a very strong minig to do, and we all do it, every woman wants to hear it, you've got an opportunity in Rosh Hashanah to be Mekayim, the Aseres HaDibros of Kibbutz of Aim. I'm not sure. I would, in my opinion, if someone asked me that on the spot, and I'd have no time to ask someone far greater than I would say stay at home. And even though you've got the Rashba that says, well, maybe there's no Chiyuv because there's no Kibbutz, we take on generally that other poskim as well, that we listen to everything, especially in this case. It's not something dangerous for the child to do, and it's something we should help with the Yomtiv at home. That would be my opinion. Just to summarize, I know I came late, so I'm going over just a few minutes what we said. We started off by saying, Kashat Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. There's beautiful reasons for Kibbutz of Aim, it doesn't always apply fully. On that, the Meshech Chochma points out, always put the mitzvah of Kashat Sivcha Hashem has commanded you to do this. And that applies, he says, to Shabbos in terms of learning as well. That was number one. Number two, there's the question on the story of Dama Ben Asuna, that how could it be that he wouldn't wake up his parent? Presumably his child would have wanted. The answer is difficult to understand. But he says the father wouldn't have wanted, the father wouldn't have been cognitive enough to realize. But otherwise, he says maybe you should wake him up. That's the psak in Dibros Moshe in Kibbutz of Aim. The third point we said was what do you do if you've got a time-bound mitzvah for a woman that she's not mechuyev to do, and the mitzvah zaseh, presumably of Kibbutz of Aim, presumably Kibbutz of Aim would come first. It's not 100% clear because it's not directly related to Kibbutz. Thank you for having me. Have a nice day and good Shabbat. Thank you.
What's the second case in the Gemara? I didn't have that.
It was also Kibbutz of Aim.
No, what was the circumstance?
And she was driving him mad. She spat on this in front of him and the mother, so they can assume the father was like that as well.
She's got a very nice ship. She should definitely go stay at home.
That's what you think.
I would say, I would even say the husband should stay at home.
Do you agree with that?
You
don't like the answer from Moshe
Feinstein. Which one about the
Sirica?
No, because on the kit of Kibbutz, I've got another thing. There's two parts. You've got the father, and you've got the son.
Thank you.
Duma Ben Asuna, from his perspective, the father from his perspective. Let's say you don't see the father as nuts. The father is
normal.
Normal. He doesn't know about what's going on. He's sleeping. Now the son is faced with the following predicament. How do I value Kibbutz Avraham altogether? If the son sees £1 million as something which is clearly enticing and that there's no question about it, that waking up your father is less than that, clearly, of course, then the father will say, "You're mad. Why didn't you wake me up?" If to the son, the waking up the father is £1 trillion, because to him he sees the value of it as lucid luboy in a complete.
Like that?
Oh, so you're asking, is anyone like that? Maybe right. That's what the Gemara is mechadish. This man really understood the value of mitzvahs.
And his father also knew.
Let his father out of it. Let me take his father's perspective from another place.